How's everybody doing this morning? Good. It's awesome. I have a word that I could share this morning, but David caught me this morning and says he's got something he needs to share. And want to hear what God has to say today. What about y'all? I'm afraid mine might be a little bit long, so I'm going to let him go.
Praise the Lord. So, for the last couple of weeks, God's really been showing me some stuff. And, of course, you know, me and Gage are back there on Sunday school. And I thought, well, I got a message for me and Gage, you know. And but this morning when I woke up early and I was just going over what I had. And all of a sudden, God started dropping some more stuff in my spirit. And then Pam got up later, and we were talking on the way out here, and I said, "Man, I got to tell Pastor Chris I got a message." And I'm thinking a few weeks from now, we'll. And he goes, "Well, I got one too, but I don't think I'm supposed to share it today, so you got it." And I was just like, I know what it means being instant in season. So I don't have it written down. It's just all right here, which I'm not used to doing, so I don't need that. I don't need it. Yeah. It's all right here, and I don't want to get distracted, but. We pray about everything we do. And Pam, when she's picking the songs, and we don't talk about that. She prays, and Thursday night, she goes, "Here's what we're doing." And, you know, I feel like God leads that, right? And I've heard Pastor Chris say it, or, you know, and this morning, we started out with who you say I am, right? Who are we in Christ? Talked about a firm foundation. He is our firm foundation. All the songs just kind of led up to this right here. And I thank God that he does that. Right now, I want to pray real quick. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray you'll just anoint as we bring forth your word today. Lord, I pray your will be done. I won't speak anything except what you'd have me to speak. Thank you for your calling, Lord, on all of our lives. Each one of us, God, use us for your glory. Help us take this word and apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. And this is probably going to be more of a teaching. And I told Gage, I'm sorry, you're going to get it twice, looks like. But he said that was all right. Thank you, Gage. Puts up with me. But I want to talk about something we've heard about so many times. I can't tell you how many times I heard Pastor Chris preach on this. And it's always been good. But, you know, today God showed me something this last 2 weeks. And I believe if he showed me something, it wasn't just for me, right? When God shows you something, it's first got to be personal. It's got to be, you got to know this is for me. Because some people are really good at God showing them something and they dump it on everybody else and say, "This is for you." And God's going, "I'm talking to you first, right? If you don't get it, they won't get it. So I'm talking to you, David. I'm talking to you about what you're going through right now for the last 6 months, right? Don't miss church. If at all possible, I'm here. But yet there's a battle. And I don't believe I'm the only one. So I'm not flipping the pages on the Bible, which that's not me. I love the Bible. I do have the word right here, but we're going to just go with what God gave me. We're talking about that still small voice. Right? And what do you think? I'm just going to read what I feel like God showed me, and I wrote it down. Didn't come off the internet. It was just God woke me up and said, "Here it is. I'm talking to you. Remember, I'm talking to you." He said, "What do you think when I say the voice of God? God is all powerful. And in the movies, it's always a strong, thundering voice. A lot of theatrics, thunder and lightning. And that can be God. But most of the time, he speaks in the spirit in that still small voice. You know, the world's conditioned us, even in the stuff with God, that we're waiting for all this miraculous great thunder and lightning and storms, and we hear that voice go, "This is God." And we're like, "Oh, that must be God." And sometimes we hear that, it ain't God. It's just noise. But we're conditioned for that, even in church sometimes. And we can miss it. I believe he can be thundering sometimes when he has to. He can send fire down when he has to, right? But most of the time, he's just wanting to talk to you. He's wanting you to listen. That still small voice. Y'all have heard the story, and I'm going to go through it real quick. And I'm going to just read through it. And then we're going to back up and talk about it a little bit. But in 1 Kings, the 19th chapter, 1 through 13, Elijah just called fire down from heaven, right? That was God. Consumed the sacrifice, sucked up all the water and the land. Everything was dry as a bone. There's nothing left. The power of God moving in a strong way, the way the movies show it. We expect it. That's God. All the prophets of Baal are destroyed with a sword. Jezebel says, okay, by this time tomorrow, may the gods do the same to me if I don't have your head. You're mine. And this mighty man of God with all the authority and the power of God in his life ran because he was full of fear in his life. He ran. Listen to what happened. And Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had slain all the prophets with a sword. And Jezebel sent a messenger. Keep that note in your head. Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah saying, so let the gods do to me and more also, if I make not thy life as the life of one of them, of one of the prophets, her false prophets, by tomorrow, by this time. Verse 3 says, and when he saw the message, well, it was written or he just heard it. When he saw the message, he arose and he said, he went for his life. He ran. And he came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. Don't miss that. You ever heard that show, Without a Trace? He was trying to leave without a trace. He didn't take his servant with him. Well, they track both of us easier than they can one. I can run high easier by myself. Left the servant there, and the servant didn't know where he was at. Scared, running, a man of God with all the power and authority God gave him to call fire down from heaven, and he's running. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, it is enough. We don't have no holier than thou people here. You ever said it's enough? You ever looked at God and said, I've had enough? You ever looked at God and said, how much more can I take? I've had it. I'm scared. I'm hurting. I've been through it. It's enough, God. I've had enough. And he said, it is enough now, Lord. Take my life, for I'm not better than my father's. They're all gone. Now, he didn't want to be killed. He just wanted to go to sleep. Wake up with God, because it was hard down here sometimes. Didn't mean he was a horrible person. But he'd had enough, right? Pastor Chris said if he wanted to die, he'd just stay where he was at. She'd have took care of that. She told him she would. So he really didn't want to die like that. He just wanted to get away from everything. I think sometimes, thank God, he's got grace and mercy, and he hears what we say, but he knows our hearts. Sometimes when we say, that's enough, God. I remember years ago saying, God, just take my life. Right? He goes, no. I hear your voice. I hear what you're saying, but I know your heart. You're hurt. Right? Thank God for mercy and grace. And for that still small voice that can still talk to you. So he said, I've had enough. He said, I know better than my father's. They're all gone. Take me too. And said he lay and he slept under a juniper tree. And behold, an angel touched him and said to him, arise and eat. Remember that angel. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baked on coals and a cruise of water in his head. He did eat and he did drink and he laid down his head again, went right on back to sleep. And the angel of the Lord came again a second time and touched him and said, arise and eat. There was a reason. He said, because of the journey that he's going to take. So he said, rise and eat, because the journey is too great for you to do in your own strength. So I'm giving you this bread. I'm giving you this water. He said, he arose and he did eat and he did drink. And he went in the strength, hang on to that, right? He went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights unto Horeb, the Mount of God. He went 40 days and 40 nights without any food. Log that up here. Remember that. We'll get back to it. And he came thither to the Mount of God now where he was told to go. But that wasn't good enough. He did what he was told to do. So he went to the Mount of God and he said, he came thither unto a cave. He found him a big cave. And he lodged there, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him. And God said to him, or he said to him, what doest thou here, Elijah? I picture God standing outside that cave and going, hello, what are you hearing in there? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you listening to? Who are you hearing? What's going on in your head? And then Elijah started, as Brother Pastor Chris has said many times, doom, despair, and agony on me. Oh. And here he went. He said, what are you hearing? What's in your head, right? What's got in your head? Here's what's got in his head. And he said it. And he said, I have been very jealous of the Lord, for the Lord, God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altar, slain thine prophets with a sword, and even I only am left. And they seek my life to take it away. He just said he wanted to die. But then he ran so he wouldn't die. Thank God he looks at our hearts. Don't always just listen to what we're running off of the mouth about. But he sees our hearts and he loves us. Hang on to that. We'll get back to that too, hopefully, Lord willing. And God said to him, he said, go forth and stand upon the mount before the Lord. Now, that's what he told him to do. He didn't say go hide in the cave. Well, he went to the right mountain, right? But what did he do? He found the first dark cave he could find and hid in there. And God said, get out of that cave. Stand up on the mountain where I told you to go and do what I told you to do before the Lord. And said, behold, the Lord passed by. You ever just had God pass by when you was in need and you just go, whoa, shaking all over. So the Lord passed by and a great and strong wind rent the mountains, so much so that it broke into pieces the rocks before the Lord. But it said the Lord wasn't in the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake, but the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. He was in the first fire, remember? He sent it down from heaven. He was in that first one. But he wasn't in this one. What was Elijah hearing? Oh, he heard the wind. That's scary. The rocks are breaking. All of a sudden, the ground starts shaking. There's more fear. All of a sudden, there's fire. You can hear it. You ever heard about a raging fire? It's loud. You can hear it. And God said, what are you hearing? Oh, I'm hearing all this trouble. I'm hearing all this stuff's coming. Wind, fire. It's all bad. Everything I'm hearing is bad. Life's bad. And he said, and after that, though, when everything had calmed down, after the fire, a still, small voice. And it was so that when Elijah heard the still, small voice, that voice of God, that he wrapped his face with his mantle and he went out and he stood in the entering of the cave. And behold, there came a voice unto him. This is God again. And what did he say to him again? Now what do you hear? Now what do you hear? Now that all the noise is gone, now that you got quiet, now what do you hear? What he heard was God saying, I got you, right? He heard God saying, come out and be the man of God that I called you to be. Come out and be the woman of God that I called you to be, right? Now I'm going to get in some teaching here real quick. Something God showed me. So I just want to read this through. And we was talking about it today, and Gage had all the answers, so that was good. I said, what are some of the things that we can do to help us to hear that still small voice of God? And what does it sound like? Remove all distractions. Anybody here been distracted lately? You ain't got to raise your hand because I can see it on most of your faces. I've been the same way. Remove all distractions. How do you do that? There may come time. You may have to put away the cell phone. You know, Gage said that. He said, well, you know, you get along with God. I said, how do you do that when you're connected to everybody? So I guess you got to leave the cell phone in the other room and turn it off. I went, bingo, you know. Oh, I'm going to go get along with God and pray. Oh, wait, forgot my phone. And the whole time you're praying, you're in. Hang on, God. I got to answer this one because this, you know, they want to know what we're having for supper tomorrow. But I got to because everybody's counting on me. If I don't answer in 3 seconds, somebody's mad, God. I got to. And God's saying, put it away. Give me a few minutes, right? And I'll change everything else. Turn off the TV or anything that can distract you from him. Get away from other people. Brother Bill mentioned this Wednesday night. The disciples woke up in the middle of the night and all these thousands of people following, and they woke up in the middle of the night and Jesus is gone. They're like, whoa, whoa. He left us. Where's he at? And they go hunting him. Where do they find him? He's up on that mountain again. What's he doing? He's praying. He's listening to God. That's Luke 5:16. Write that down. You can look it up. He withdrew himself into the wilderness and he prayed. Get quiet yourself, number two. I'm not trying to offend nobody, but you need to hear this. Pray and ask God to speak to you. And then just listen. You got something you're praying about? Your health? Your family? Your job? My job? Pray and speak to God. And then listen. It's hard to hear that still small voice when you're constantly telling God what you need him to do, like you're in charge. Right? To despair means to what, Pam? To despair means to turn your back on God. If you're his child. You may be down. You may be getting beat up a little bit, but you ain't in despair. God's got you, right? Elijah heard from God once he stopped and was quiet. I've always been hyper. I'm still hyper. My body just won't go like it used to. But I'm still hyper. And God would give me dreams, right? I didn't know nothing about God or about the Bible or anything or any of that stuff. But I used to tell him all the time, I think the reason God gives me dreams is that's the only time he can get me quiet enough and still enough that he can talk to me. Because I'm like this, I want to go for God, you know, even doing stuff for God. If we're not careful, doing for God, we forget to spend the time with him to hear and get the direction. And we're running and we're busy and we're doing God's work, but we're missing it. And we're stressed. And we're just, the level is up here, and we're drowning. And we're in that dark place all of a sudden. And we realize in the middle of all you're doing for God, you're in a dark place. It's not what he wants for our life. So be still. If you want to hear the still small voice, you need to be still yourself. Elijah also didn't hear from God until he stopped running. There's some people been running from God too. Running from what he's called you to do, maybe. You may still be sitting on a church pew. You just ain't doing everything he wants you to do. And you're running. But you're asking God, tell me, God, what do you want me to do? And God's saying, if you'll stop and be still just for a minute, David, I'll tell you. But you got to stop. You got to listen. So he didn't hear from God until he stopped running. Because he was listening to the enemy's voice mixed with fear, right? And was drowning out the voice of God. Everything else, the thunder, the lightning, the wind, the earthquake, all that was drowning out the voice of God. Once he was still and quiet, the angel of the Lord came to him and fed him and instructed him. How do you hear from God? Read God's word. Reading God's word will also help you to distinguish between the voices you're hearing in your head and the voice of you, or the voice of God, or the voice of the enemy of your soul, Satan. Hebrews 4:12 says the word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide asunder your mind, your soul, and your spirit is what it says, but it means your mind and your spirit. It helps you determine to split that open and go, okay, divide this up and go, this is my mind. This is the Spirit of God. And it'll help you distinguish which one's actually God. So you go to the Word of God. Whatever you get from God, you can always go to the Word. I guarantee you it'll back it up. And I wrote down here, I'm just amazed how many times that I'll hear something, I feel like it's from God. I'll go, God, is this you? And then Pam will give me a word, not having a clue what I'm going through. Or I get here and Pastor Chris, he'll praise you, and I'll just go, oh, thank you, God. Could be Brother Gary, somebody in the church, or a stranger. I love that scripture. It says, be careful when you entertain strangers, because you may be entertaining angels unaware. So God has many ways to talk to you. But however he does it, it'll always line up with his word, right? And it should confirm what God's already showed you in your spirit. That's in Hebrews 13:2, if you need it, write it down. About the strangers. I've seen little angels, right? I can tell you the story sometimes if you got time. I've seen little angels, and I've seen the angels, the Bible talks about messengers, that are just people that God sends your way. So what can we glean from the story? We're going to back up now real quick. I'm going to run through this. What can we glean from this story, this true story? There's a lot of things about this true story that represent things in our life today that we can glean from this and help us. The message from Jezebel's messenger. Satan tries to plant fear in our minds and our hearts. Satan also has messengers. We've got to understand that. Not everything we hear is from God, right? Jesus said, my sheep know my voice. He didn't say another they won't hear. But he said another they won't follow. The word of God helps us divide that and realize, wait a minute, I hear this voice over here, but that don't sound like God. The word of God, this sounds like God. The angel or the messenger from God represents the Holy Spirit. The word of God said he's our helper, he's our comforter, right? That message is bringing fear. That message is causing torment. That message has caused you to be frozen and want to go hide in this dark place. This message has got you in this cave. That's not God. Holy Spirit's our comforter. That's the one that's trying to pull you out of that dark place. It's time to come out of your dark place. It's time to walk out of that grave, out of that cave. The food and the water, the angel prepared for him, represents God's provision for us when we obey him. Even though Elijah's mind might have been in a bad place, we weren't thinking right exactly clear. I believe his heart was right. So God sent him a messenger. Like I said, that angel sometimes can be a literal angel. I've seen them. But sometimes it's a messenger. How many times has somebody said, hey, you know, I'm going to give you a word. And you just like, If it's good, we're all like, yay. When it ain't, when it's correction, we're all like, that can't be God. Better listen. He'll send a couple of messengers maybe. Here's a great part. We're going to move on. Even though Elijah was in a bad place in his mind, I believe his heart was right because he loved God. He was just walking in fear. He had let all the voices and all the bad reports. You got a bad report this week, this month, in your health? That's fact. It might be a fact, but faith don't deny facts. Faith changes facts, right? Remember who's head. Remember who's in charge. I did it again. I hate this. Remember my Bible. You can't do it on the Bible. Hang on one second. I'm sorry. We're getting back there, guys. The food and the water provision. 40 days without food. Said he went 40 days and nights after without food after the angel came the second time and provided the food for him, right? And it said that that food, that provision lasted him for 40 days and 40 nights. And I don't speak this stuff over us, but every time we have an influx of money come in, me or Pam, either one will go, I wonder what's fixing to happen. And we don't mean that bad. We just know that God always provides for us. When we get it, we just go, okay, something's probably fixed to happen, but guess what? When it happens, there it is. We got it. Why? Because God's plan is provisions already made, right? But if we don't obey, he could have sat right there under that tree and died. But he got the provision he needed to carry him 40 days. That's why I say his heart was still good. Even though his mind was a little messed up, because he followed, he ate, he got strength. He went 40 days and nights without eating anything or drinking till he got to where God wanted him. Whew. I know it's long. I know this excited me. I'm going to get to the best part at the end, I promise, Lord willing. The cave, those dark places sometimes we find ourselves in due to bad decisions we made, maybe health issues that have nothing to do with anything we've done, and just life itself. Because sometimes life is hard, and whether you're a Christian or not, it's still hard sometimes. But we got victory, right? Depression, sadness, fear. Then you start to panic. Anybody ever had a panic attack? I always said, I don't understand how anybody as a child of God could ever have a panic attack. That is crazy until I had one. Then it wasn't so crazy. Then it was, what am I doing and why am I sitting in my truck crying and I can't stop? That'll change your life. Change your perspective on a lot of stuff. Give you some compassion for somebody else who had one when you've been there. And you never thought, ain't no way I'd ever do that. Oh, yeah? Want to bet? Hold on, here it comes. You asked for it, and boom. It says he lodged there in the cave. He took up residence in a dark place. And that's what Satan wants to do to us. That's what Satan wants to do to you. Are you in a dark place right now? Satan wants you to just live there. Oh, he wants to keep you there. God, if he keeps you there, man, you're stuck. Not only are you stuck and you're hurting, but now your family's hurting. Everybody's hurting. Why? Because you're stuck in this dark place and you can't seem to get out. You don't know what to do. But he took up residence there. I love this part. He took up residence there in the dark place. And that's what Satan wants for all of us to do. But in that dark place, God met him and spoke to him and said to him, "What do you hear?" And after listening to the fears and the complaints that doom, despair, and agony on me, after God said that, he told him what he heard. God told him, "Get up and come out of that cave. Step out of that dark place. You can do it. God can give you the power to step out of that dark place. You don't have to be bondage to that stuff. You just got to make the right decisions. You got to hear God. And then you're going to have to get up and you're going to have to walk out. God's standing outside the door and saying, light's out here. Darkness is in here. Go to the light. It's not a bug zapper. Go to the light. It's good. You're not going to die. I promise. Listen to God." So God told him to come out. Now remember, God just asked him, what do you hear? What did he hear? The wind, the earthquake, the fire. That all represents the trials and the distractions of this life that can get in our minds and our hearts and pull us away from God. But then there was that still small voice. When he walked outside of that dark cave, I love God did it again. God said, "What do you hear now?" After all the thunder and the storm and the wind and the fire and all that and the earthquake, he said, "Now what do you hear?" All of a sudden there was a peace and there was a quietness. There was an assurance, right? God said, "What are you hearing now?" He said, "I heard that still small voice of God saying, I got you," right? I experienced that this week. When I got away from everybody up in the bucket truck, 40 feet up in the air, and all of a sudden the peace of God hit me that passes all understanding like I've never felt in my life. And I heard God say, "I got you." You want to know why this is burning on me? I was Elijah. Still doing God's will, I believe. I was hurting. Couldn't tell nobody. I wouldn't be too Christian-like. You know, you're a teacher. You're praise and worship. You can't be having these kind of problems. And God's saying, "Come on out. I'm here. Let me help you." And here's the last part. I got this just on the way to church. Pam gave me another word. Imagine that. Another messenger. It said he wrapped his head with his mantle. And I'm going to close with this, and then we're going to do a communion after we give God a chance to change some lives here. I'm sorry, after you give God a chance to change some lives here. The mantle, I looked it up. Pound told me it was a head wrap in a lot of cases that the prophets wore. And I looked it up and it said the mantle is the outer garment of a prophet. He wore representing the authority of God in his life. He had went to that dark cave. He had hid out, took off his mantle. He laid down the authority of God in that cave. The authority that he didn't have, but God gave him. God's authority, God's ability to get you out, God's ability to deliver you, God's ability to heal you, God's ability to deliver you from the trials of work, family, whatever it is. And he said, "Forget God, I'm done, I've had enough." And he just laid that mantle down. Pam said this morning, she said, "Wait, when Elijah was being taken up, and he asked Elijah, he said, what do you want from me? He said, I want a double portion of your anointing. And he said he dropped that mantle as he was going up. And Elijah picked it up, right? He picked up that authority. And he done twice the miracles that Elijah done. One when he was dead, after he was even dead. Pick that mantle back up, guys. Don't let the devil destroy you. Don't let the devil destroy your family. I don't care if it's your health, right? I don't care. What's the word of God say? By his stripes we are healed. We got to take up that mantle and we got to stand. You know? And if God says it's time, it's time. But until God says it's time, I'm taking up that mantle. And devil, you're not taking my health. You're not taking my mind, right? The devil tries to say, oh, you're losing it. You forgot to set the garbage out Wednesday. Well, I forget to set the garbage out every Wednesday. So I'm not losing my mind. I just, that's not a priority. Right? I mean, my wife says it's a priority, but in my mind, it's not. And I sometimes forget. But I'm not losing my mind in Jesus' name. I'm taking authority. That mantle that God placed in your life, if you're struggling, first of all, look inside. It's probably not everybody else's fault most of the time. It's that we took our mind off of God. I told Gage this morning, I said, man, somehow it's my job, you know. My wife depends on me and my house. And I got to take care of my house. I got to take care of my family. I got to take care of some of her family. I got to take care of this. And I said, the whole time it was all just about I. What happened to the mantle? I laid the mantle down and started trying to do everything myself. And God said, you're going to wear yourself out that way. So once I repented, yes, a child of God, sometimes you need to repent. Once I realized I wasn't walking the way God wanted me to walk, not 100% in his will, I wasn't hearing his voice. When I got quiet and I got still, God spoke to me and said, come out of that cave. And I took and put away all the distractions and I heard him. You know, my family can be a distraction. That don't make them evil. Right? I just love them. My family was a distraction. Because I'm trying to take care of my wife. I'm trying to take care of my family. I'm trying to take care of all these people. I've got to do this. I got to do that. And God's going, come on. I got you. Right? Listen to me. I got you. I've got your family, and you're not going to save them anyway. You love them to death if you ain't careful, literally. You got to put God first, and I love my family. But man, when Jesus said you got to hate your mother and father in comparison to your love for me, that's pretty strong. He don't mean literally hate them, but you got to love God more. He said, you do that, I'll take care of the rest. That son's going to come back. That daughter's going to come back. Right? So don't lay down your authority. You know, don't let anger and bitterness and fear and worry cause you to get in that dark place and lay your authority down and where the devil just tromps all over you and then destroys your family. Don't do that. Stand up in the authority that you have. Right now, if you're here, I don't believe in sugarcoating nothing because he didn't sugarcoat it when he gave it to me. If you've laid that mantle down, you need to repent. You need to get up. You need to walk out. You may need to come up here and walk out of that darkness and walk up here in this light and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Right? Give me strength. Restore it to me. I want to take that mantle of authority back up that you gave me. Not in my own power, but in your power that I can stand and I can take this hard thing I just went through. And with your authority, with your mantle wrapped around my head, that's amazing, wrapped around your head, right? Protects your mind, right? Hello? Walking in a clear mind and the peace of God, I can take that I just went through and I can help that next person. Like I said, I couldn't understand how anybody could get so depressed that they would just have a panic attack until I had one. And now I hear about that, it breaks my heart. I want to go, come on, let me help you. Let me help you, right? There's a lot of y'all going through stuff I ain't got no idea. But God does. And I'm asking you right now, as Pound comes back up, we're going to play, she's going to play a song right here. Let's not wait. We're going to do the communion after this. You need, if you're sick, if you're hurting, if you need a miracle from God, if you're having trouble in your home, get out of that seat, come up here, and let God do the work. Pick that mantle up and say, the devil, you don't have no place in my home. You don't have no place in my life. You don't have no place in my body. You don't have no place in my mind. I'm wrapping that mantle of God, that authority. I'm wrapping it around my head. I'm guarding my mind. And I'm going to step out of that cave. I'm going to step out of that dark place. And I'm going to walk with you, God. And I'm going to listen to your voice. I'm going to hear that still. I'm going to cut that noise off. And I'm going to hear you. Don't think about it. Just get up and do it.